This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. President Bush has been pushing hard for Social Security changes in his second term, particularly for use of private investment accounts. Public support for private accounts is low. This week, several Republican lawmakers proposed new plans to reshape Social Security. Some of them de-emphasize private accounts. At least one eliminates it altogether. If you have questions about the economics or the politics of these plans, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now here in Studio 3A is Alex Wayne, a reporter for Congressional Quarterly. He's been covering this story. Nice to have you in the studio with us.
Thanks, Neil.
What's in these plans? Why don't we begin in the House of Representatives?
Sure. Some House Ways and Means committee members have proposed a plan that would use Social Security's surplus to create individual accounts in the program. They'd be smaller than the president's accounts, they would, in theory, phase out when the Social Security surplus disappeared in a few years.
Mm-hmm. And the surplus is, somewhere in the teens, 2016, something like that?
The whole thing is about $160 billion right now. They could only use about a little less than half of that, actually, because a lot of it is interest.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this what the Democrats used to call Social Security Plus?
Kind of, yeah. And that's the line that Republicans are trying to use against Democrats. They're saying that they're stopping the raid on Social Security surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any member of Congress who's ever had a town hall meeting in their district to talk about Social Security has heard from at least one of their constituents telling them to stop raiding Social Security's trust funds.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other proposal is in the United States Senate, and this is Robert Bennett of Utah.
Right.
And what's his proposal?
His proposal is similar to one piece of the president's plan. His bill, he hasn't introduced it yet, but it would reduce the growth of Social Security benefits for future retirees, you and me. People who are currently retired, people who are near retirement wouldn't be affected.
And so it would curb the growth. Is this the one that ties a growth of Social Security not necessarily to the cost of living index, but to another slower growing index?
That's right, to wages.
To wages.
For richer people. It would kind of be a sliding scale. If you're on the low income end of things, you wouldn't see any change. If you're higher income, your benefits would be pegged to wages. You'd get less than is promised under current law.
And what about the president's treasured idea of private investment accounts?
It's not part of Bennett's bill, but he is going to introduce a separate bill that basically has personal accounts separate from his bill to slow benefits.
Now, the principal problem that the president and everybody else wants to deal with in terms of Social Security is insolvency. Yes, in a few years' time, Social Security will be bringing in less than it pays out. The trust funds will expire a few years after that, or several years after that. We don't need to get into the details. They're a little bit mind-numbing here. But do any of these extend, any of these proposals, extend Social Security's solvency?
Sure, Bennett's bill would. The first one that we talked about that would slow the growth of benefits,
mm-hmm.
that would certainly extend solvency. I'm not sure if it would solve all of the program's problems. We haven't seen a score for the bill, what they call an analysis of the bill.
And the idea of the bill in the House, as I understand it, would extend solvency, but not very far.
Yeah, they use some gimmickry to create that extension of solvency. There's a Senate version of that bill that wouldn't affect solvency at all because of
this is Jim DeMint's bill.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you scratch under the surface of these bills, they're built differently. They address Social Security's cash flows. I hate to use these terms on air, but they address Social Security's cash flows differently.
We're talking about Social Security changes that's being proposed in the House and the Senate. And all of this comes along. The president, as he's been mounting this long now campaign for changes in Social Security, he's said all along, I don't really want to spell out ideas. I want people in Congress to put these proposals on the table. We can have a bipartisan exchange. Democrats have said all along, we're not talking about anything until private accounts are off the table. What's happening now with the Republican side?
Well, I think what's happening with the Democrat side is they're still saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the Republican side, they're not backing off from private accounts. They're touting this accounts built from the surplus plan as a scaled back idea, but one that could sort of kickstart the debate. It's kind of getting private accounts under the door, and maybe later they can expand it.
So this is somewhere, in your opinion, between a trial balloon and a stalking horse?
Something like that.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email us, TOTN at NPR.org. Derek's calling from Washington, D.C.
Hi, hello there.
Hello.
And a real nice show.
Thank you.
I just want to say I pretty much represent the millions of middle-class Americans that have pretty much lost faith with our politicians, as well as with corporate America. We see Social Security not only as a crisis, but even the pension as a crisis. And I'm a definite advocate of private accounts, but the reason why I think the private accounts is not selling as well is because we don't see any value in it if a politician presses forward with it. We don't see a value in it if Wall Street presses forward with it. Middle-class Americans are tired. We are questioning what's going to happen to our retirement, with our futures, and we were just tired of politicians and the corporate side.
Well, Alex Wayne, this does come at the same time that there's an awful lot of troubled pension plans, not just in the airline industry, but in a lot of industries. We're certainly hearing about Detroit's problems with health care and pension plans as well. And at the same time, people are talking about reducing Social Security benefits.
Absolutely. And both sides, the Democrats and Republicans, are trying to tie those issues together. Over on the House side, the Ways and Means Committee is working on a piece of legislation that would wrap pension reforms and savings incentives and Social Security into one package. Democrats are saying, with all the trouble that pensions are seeing, why do we want to go and weaken Social Security with private accounts?
Mm-hmm. Derek, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's talk now with Frank, and Frank's in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hi, how are you doing, Neil?
Very well.
Well, I have a question about why people keep talking about surplus. Because right now, the unfunded liability, what we've promised to future recipients, we're already $9 to $12 trillion in the hole, depending on whose longevity statistics you want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the moment, they're talking about a surplus because Social Security is bringing in more money than it pays out. There's a gap there, a difference, and they're calling that difference a surplus.
Yeah, but is it really a surplus when what we've promised is way beyond what we have in our... Right now, if nobody paid another penny in, we'd have to pay $9 to $12 trillion more out than we currently have completely, because we promise future benefits to people paying in.
I'm not arguing your math, but Alex Wayne, does Congress consider, they know about all these long-term liabilities,
sure. Yeah.
But they still see that surplus there in the budget, and they'd like to spend it.
Yeah, they are spending it right now. The Republicans are saying, instead of spending it on everything else, we're going to spend it on you. We're going to give that to workers and put it in individual accounts. Democrats are saying this is a smokescreen for creating personal accounts.
Mm-hmm. Frank, I understand your difficulty in getting the idea that a little now is not very much compared to a whole lot later. But now is, and am I right, Wayne, in terms of congressional terms, now is what they think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And that figure that Frank was using, the $9 to $12 trillion figure, that's a projection through infinity. There's a lot of debate about how accurate that is. The 75-year projection for Social Security is something like $4 trillion, which is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less than what he was talking about.
Frank, thanks very much for the phone call. Joining us here in the studio is NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, always nice to have you on the program.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And as you look at these new Social Security plans put forward by Republicans in Congress, does this suggest, I was asking Alex Wayne about this a moment ago, does this suggest that Republican tactics, at least, are changing?
The Republican tactics we're seeing now are coming from Congress as opposed to coming from the White House. So the White House has not changed its tactics. The White House has been remarkably consistent. The White House has said, this is our plan. We want to take 4 points out of the current payroll tax and use that for private personal accounts. And they're sticking by that. But the White House has also always said, we welcome other people's ideas. We welcome ideas from Republicans in Congress. We're waiting to hear the Democrats' ideas in Congress. So let 1,000 schools of thought bloom. And some schools of thought are beginning to bloom. And in some respects, they are somewhat different from the president's plan. But they are still essentially avenues to an a private component, if not full privatization, of the Social Security system. That's still the Republican idea.
Now, on the Democratic side, they said from the beginning, again, much like the president, that they're not going to talk about anything to do with Social Security until the idea of privatized accounts is off the table.
That seems to be their trigger. They have said again and again, we don't want to get involved in a negotiation that requires us to accept the concept of privatizing Social Security in any measure, because if we do it in any measure, it will become, well, essentially the nose of the camel under the tent is the metaphor that keeps getting used. Soon we'll have the whole camel inside.
Mm-hmm.
So they refuse to bring forth any ideas for higher taxes or a higher retirement age or for benefit cuts until they're assured that it will not be a negotiation that winds up with a privatization component.
You've had the nose of the camel under the tent. I've had trial balloons and stalking horses. You can have slippery slope pretty soon, Alex Wayne, if you'd like. Anyway, let's get some more listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255. And let's go to Eugene. Eugene's with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Hi there.
Hi.
I started getting interested in Social Security about 10 years ago. I'm 52 now. And so I'm not too far away, but, you know, I thought for a long time that Social Security would be fixed, that it was just really a bad system, that your people are putting in money to support people that are already on it. Now, my question, you know, I'd like to see the changes, but as far as private accounts go, I think that the idea is a good idea, especially considering that it was like thrift savings, and I used to have that with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really good system. You could borrow against it. You know, you had the money. It was managed pretty conservatively. But is that what they're looking at for private accounts? I'm not sure why the Democrats are so against it, when some of the things that I've heard, you know, on different NPR shows about being able to keep that money, you know, that money actually belongs to you. You can transfer it to, you know, you can will it to people when you die, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so against private accounts?
Alex Wayne, the version I've heard on that is that Democrats would be fine with that if it didn't run up the deficit.
That's about right. I think a lot of people think that private accounts are a great idea in principle. It's when you try to actually build one that you run into problems. They'd be just enormously expensive to create.
And again, we're talking about numbers that you can get an argument on any one of these, but how expensive?
We're talking $2 trillion, depending on the plan. The president's plan has been, the White House acknowledges that it would cost $750 billion. That's just in the first 10 years. After that, it's probably $2 trillion more.
So, Eugene, the government would have to borrow that money somewhere.
Or raise taxes or cut spending.
And that's the problem the Democrats have with it.
There's one other thing, Neil, and that is there's a philosophical difference here. The idea behind Social Security going back to 1935 was that it was a societal commitment not to let any members of society retire in abject poverty. And we added to that some other Social Security benefits for people who have other kinds of problems, such as massive illness and things of that nature that keep them from being able to survive. As a result, Social Security was maybe the most basic part of the social safety net that came out of the New Deal. And part of that was not necessarily designed to be a great individual investment option for each individual person. Probably never would have looked like that to the people who put it together. And now it's being judged against the idea of, say, a 401k or other kinds of more profitable investments that individuals can get into.
Here's an email from Bill in Concord, North Carolina. No one in Washington ever admits there is no money in the Social Security Trust Fund. They spend it every year on general revenue. All the trust fund has is IOUs from the Treasury Department. How do they plan to pay those IOUs when the money is needed? Alex?
That's a great question, and it's one that the Democrats don't really like to answer. They say the trust fund's there. It promises benefits through 2041, but as he asks, how are we going to pay back the bonds that are held in the trust fund?
Another email question, this from Jason in Oakland, California. Wouldn't it be better to just get rid of the income cap on Social Security than go to privatization? It would seem that if the upper class contributed, then there wouldn't be any problems. Ron, what's he talking about there, and would it work?
There is a $90,000 cap on the amount of income that is taxed by the payroll tax. So all the money that someone makes after they've made their first $90,000 goes tax-free for purposes of Social Security. If you raised the cap to $120,000, $130,000, or perhaps took it off entirely so that the payroll tax applied totally to however much money you made, if you're Bill Gates or whomever, that would pretty much in and of itself change the whole ballgame. That would, of course, also be a large tax increase on the affluent.
We're talking about plans to change Social Security in Congress. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Manuel. Manuel's calling from San Francisco.
Hi, I'm actually calling. I was calling about the cap as well, since that was the same question I was going to ask. Is there any legislation or proposed legislation going through Congress right now that would do that, that would remove the cap?
Alex?
Yeah, a Democrat named Bob Wexler actually has introduced a bill that would raise the cap on wages. It's not going to go anywhere, I'm afraid.
It seems like now would be a great time to begin to at least to strike back and try to move this in a different direction as well. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Manuel. Is it fair to say that that one Democratic plan that we saw was raising taxes, essentially, to cover the solvency gap, and Republican plans basically call for cutting benefits?
That's something of an oversimplification, but the Republicans have ruled out increasing taxes. The president has shown a little bit of ankle on the question of raising the cap. The one thing he has totally ruled out is changing the rate, the amount of money, the percentage of your income that is currently the tax on your paycheck and that your employer pays as well. It's half paid by employees, half paid by employers. Both sides are paid, of course, by the self-employed. So that gets to be kind of a large bite. And if you were to start increasing that, that kind of tax increase would hit everybody. That, of course, would be across the board unpopular. The cap, the president has not entirely ruled out. There have been a couple of times in his language when he suggested that part of a compromise might be a higher cap.
We're talking about proposals to change Social Security and the politics around those ideas. We'll take more of your calls after we get back from a short break. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@NPR.org. Plus, an ex-Klansman gets the maximum sentence in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and congressional hardball, literally. I'm Neil Conan. Back after the break, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're wrapping up our conversation on Social Security. Our guests are NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving and Alex Wayne, a reporter with Congressional Quarterly. And let's get some more of your calls on the air. This is Luke. Luke's with us from Minneapolis.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling to kind of ask about the pink elephant that no one's talking about, regarding the fact that the age requirement has not been changed in a while, and because of medical advances, people are living much longer.
All right, wait a minute. Luke, before we go any further, we need some cliche parsing here. I brought in some bad ones. A pink elephant is what people who are alcoholics see on a very bad day. You're talking about the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, so
yeah,
go ahead.
Thanks for catching me on that.
All right.
No, but what I'm wondering about is the increase in the increasing the age requirement for Social Security payouts, because when Social Security was originally designed, people were only living 5 to 10 years past the required age. Now people are averaging 20 years past the age.
And Alex, that's a great deal of the problem, that Social Security is paying out a lot longer than actuarially it thought it would have.
Absolutely.
To.
When the program was created, you had a pretty good chance of dying before you ever collected a check. And these days, you're going to live for probably another 20 years after you get on Social Security. A lot of people say we've got a middle-age retirement program in our hands now. People, are collecting their check at sometimes as early as 62, 63, and then they live to be 90 years. And how can we possibly afford to, essentially finance people's retirement for 30 years?
And Ron Elving, the current law calls for the retirement age, the age at which you can retire and get full Social Security benefits, to slowly increase until the age of 67. Is that right?
I believe that's correct. It's in the high 60s, and of course that may look pretty old to a lot of your listeners, but it is a date that is beginning to look more and more attainable, as Alex was suggesting, to more people in their middle years. And when we were talking about the truly elderly getting to 75, 80, 85, that was one thing, but those numbers, an awful lot of Americans are going to blow right by those numbers, and we're not talking Medicare here, so if we're talking about them being pretty healthy and living a longer period of time, that's good for Medicare, that they should not need necessarily so much Medicare, but it's not good for Social Security because that money just keeps going out and going out and going out. So no one wants the nation's average life expectancy not to increase, but we have to make adjustments for it. Mm-hmm. And perhaps a retirement age for some of 70 or 75 would be more appropriate.
And it's, that would obviously address the solvency problem.
It's funny, though. There seems to be a disconnect between the American people and folks in Washington on this issue. The American people just hate the idea of raising the retirement age or adjusting benefits to account for increases in longevity. And people here in Washington, the policymakers and the people at the think tanks, think this is a pretty common sense thing to do.
Well, part of the problem is when you say retirement age, some people think the age at which they may retire from their jobs, they don't think of it necessarily only in terms of Social Security. They're thinking in some sense or another there might be some other compulsion, that they might have to continue working longer than they wish to. You can retire now whenever you want, and you just don't start collecting Social Security until you reach the Social Security retirement age. You may retire whenever you wish.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we get one more caller on the line. Luke, thanks very much. Let's go to Mark. Mark's with us from San Mateo, California.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering if the federal government pays interest on the money they took from the trust fund.
Alex, you're nodding sagely.
Yeah. Actually, the surplus every year, more of it comes from interest than from actual payroll taxes, cash.
So it's interest on the surplus.
It's interest on what's already in the trust funds that the government is crediting to back to the trust funds. Yeah.
So they're making money on it, Mark.
Okay, well, that's good.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much. Ron, before we let you go, given the politics of this, are any of the plans that we've been talking about with Alex before, are they getting any traction in Congress?
I believe that the idea, purely, of saying, let's use some of the Social Security trust fund surplus right now to establish private accounts and move the debate forward will be very popular. A lot of Republicans are going to pounce on this and they're going to say, oh, well, now there's a more reasonable approach. And certainly the Democrats can't be against taking the money that's in the Social Security trust fund surplus and using that to give people private accounts. Well, that sounds pretty good. I mean, right now that money's just going to the general fund. It sounds pretty good to devote it to some kind of a Social Security retirement account. Now, when they find out that it may be just a matter of a few hundred dollars a year for each recipient to have in that private account, it may not sound quite as compelling, but I think it's going to be very popular among Republicans, and it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats continue to be an absolute phalanx against it.
We will continue to follow this story as it develops. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor, and Alex Wayne, a reporter for the Congressional Quarterly, both were kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A.